Oh, I'm getting old. Oh, I've got a partial plate at the top, and it was tight.
Sorry, mate, we're just going to turn you down there a bit, right?
Sorry, is that it? And of late, it's been getting loose, and the top plate's been flapping about a bit. So I thought all week, remember to use Polydent. And I did. I did. Yeah, so there you are, you see. We're all human. We're all human. I nearly was going to scrub this and just talk about what I found at the end, but I thought, no, I better not. Because I received a great revelation from doing this study on love. So I'm not going to be covering all the subjects. We'll be here for the next couple of years. It is the most vast subject there is, and I'll explain to you why. We've got some big dictionaries at home, big sets we've gathered over the years. And I looked up love, and not one of them can describe it. They don't describe it, and they say they don't describe it. So I went to Baker's Theological Dictionary to see what they had to say. And they covered it quite well. The writing's small. It says, love. Scripture defines love in the only way that it can or ought to define it, namely by listing its attributes. And I thought, that's peculiar. Why can't we describe what love is? So I meditated on it and I read all sorts of things. And I came up with a conclusion. God doesn't just love, he is love. So how can you explain God? So that's why they can't explain love. It is God. That's where it comes from. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrong, but rejoices in right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Try preaching on that. You'd be here for decades. It's just so big a subject. I counted the number of times in my concordance that the word love appears, and it's something like about 600 and something times. It's the most frequently used word in the Bible. The next one is Lord. But love is the most frequently used word in the whole Bible. I'm going to read you just a couple of scriptures, just as a defining point. In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." So love is not this world. It's not this world. And that's the point I'm trying to make today. And we go over to verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God shows his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Get rid of that one too. Give me a bit of space. something happened to me almost all my life, as far back as I can remember. I really get turmoil inside about incidents that have happened to me over the time. Things people have done or said or their attitude towards me or whatever it is. And I just go over them and over them and over them. Almost daily. And this has been the bane of my life for as long as I can ever remember. I go over every detail of them. Time and time and time again. Hundreds of times. Well, 2 or 3 years ago, I decided, no reason to decide it, but I did decide it, that I was going to start showing some love. So the first thing that I did was, down at Coles, the girls have got a name badge on. So I called them by their name. And I've been doing this now for 2 or 3 years, and they now know me. And you have 2 or 3 people there, and you look at them, and they're all doing their job and a glum face. And then I come along and, "Hi, Elizabeth, how are you doing today?" And they brighten right up. Big smile on their face, and they greet me. And I always farewell them afterwards, and I use their name. That's what they've got a badge for. I use their name. Then I thought, I'm going to take this further. So you go down the street. We were in business in town here. We know lots of people. Well, I can't remember all their names. But you see them and you recognise them and you know who they are. And you just go, and keep going. But I decided, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. So I smile at them and say, "Oh, hello, how are you?" Just a little bit more. They smile back. And I think to myself, maybe they're living by themselves and that's the only smile they're going to get today. It's the only smile they're going to get. So I'm doing these things, trying to show some of God's love around the town. And then all of a sudden, I got the big surprise. I realised that I haven't had one of these vicious turmoil events for 2 or 3 years. They just went away. You see, there's a scripture that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you." It does not say, "Find the kingdom of God and all else will be added unto you." It says, "Seek." So the very first day you start seeking it, God will give you everything you need. The very first day. So, God used that. I didn't realise it, but he used that. I started showing his love around town, and the very first day he blessed me. I didn't realise it, but it happened. I just think that that's a great testimony for God. Start doing it, and he will bless us. And he's blessed me. You've got no idea how great it is. That I don't go through all of that anymore. It's marvellous. Now, there's lots of different things, or some different things, that I just wanted to raise a little bit. Law versus love. Love is the true point of contact between God and man. Man is made in the image of God, and the image of God is the capacity to self-surrender. Hey, I'm going to mention that. Self-surrender. Have I got it? No. Ah, here we go. Love nullifies law by overcoming law, for love contains its own sense of obligation. If a mother hears the cry of her children, she rushes to their side without the prompting of legal duty. Love needs no law. Now, Jesus said, "I did not come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it." Now, a lot of people cut that in half. It's two statements. "I did not come to abolish the law" is one statement. "I came to fulfill it" is another statement. And a lot of people ignore the second part. And they say, therefore, the law is still in place. He didn't come to abolish the law. That's true but not true. Because you see, when he came to fulfill it, he came to fulfill it by filling it full of love. And that's what Jesus did. He filled the law full of love. If we love with the love of God, it is an impossibility to break any of the Ten Commandments. You've got a better chance of holding the ocean back with a fork. It's just not possible to break any of the Ten Commandments if you're loving with the love of God. So Jesus did a great thing there, in that point. He gave us the love that we needed. Number four. Oh, yes. I think that this is the point that I'll just explain something that I discovered. Several places through my studies, it has said that if you want to love, you must surrender. You can't count yourself. You've got to put yourself aside because you can't love if you're concentrating on yourself. So you've got to self-surrender and just concentrate on the person that you're loving. Now, one of the things that's very interesting in this loving and in a church situation, nowhere in the Bible does it say that you've got to like people. It just says you've got to love them. Just says you've got to love them. So you don't have to like them, just love them. Now, I made a comment earlier this morning, and I believe it. I totally believe it in my heart. The leader of the opposition, I really felt for him this morning, thinking the feelings that he must be going through. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Not anybody. I mean, he's a creation of God just like we are. You know? And I just wouldn't want him to have those feelings. I just wouldn't want anybody to have those devastating feelings of loss. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to look at the person. You see, God hates what Hitler thinks. God hates what Hitler says. God hates what Hitler does. But the person, he loves. He loves the person. And that's what we've got to do. We don't have to like the person, just love them. Love the person. You don't have to like what they're thinking, saying or doing, but you do have to love the person. That's what Jesus is telling us time and time and time again. Love the person. And there's several scriptures that they go on about it. I mean, it's a case, too, of reading the words and understanding the words. You see, it says, the first and greatest commandment. Whoop, let's stop there. Commandment? God has given us a commandment? I mean, how stupid would we be if we didn't obey it? I mean, it's a commandment from God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And there's a bit added on the end of this one. And with all your strength. Right? Since we all totally depend on God, we are not rightly related to God unless we are totally surrendered. There we go again. We've got to be totally surrendered. We've got to get our eyes off ourselves. Because you can't put your eyes on somebody else if you've got them glued on yourself. It just can't happen. It just can't happen. Looking for my number. Okay. This is interesting. I found this very interesting. Hands up, anybody who loves themselves. There's a few. There's some who haven't got their hands up. Well, we're going to cover that. The second greatest commandment is, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. As yourself. And it says, every normal human being, what's a normal human being, by the way? Every normal human being has a sense of his own spiritual dignity written on his heart or her heart. So we've got a sense of our own dignity engraved on our heart. So we've got a self-love. And I sort of take it further. I mean, if you're hungry, you're going to feed yourself. If you're hurt, you're going to wash the wound and dress it. You're just going to carry on without it. So yeah, we love each other. We love ourselves. And it's with this same love that we love ourselves that we've got to love our neighbours. Now, our neighbour is anybody around us. It could be family, it could be next-door neighbours, could be your brothers and sisters in Christ in church. It could be anybody. But to the degree that you love yourself, you've got to love them. That's what Scripture is telling us. That's what love is telling us. Just a couple of three things here before I tell you what I found. And as far as loving ourselves is concerned too, one thing we do need to keep in mind is that we are created in the image of God. What isn't there to love about that? Now, love is a decision, not an emotion. It's a decision. Tarina and I were with a pastor on the Sunshine Coast. And we went into great depth about forgiveness. And it was a big course, and I don't know what was it, about 20 of us there. And it was a case of forgiving each other. It was husbands and wives. It was a case of forgiving each other. And one of the things that I raised was, I don't feel like it. Right? I didn't have the feelings. Well, over the period of time when I learned and the Lord dealing with me, it worked out that, and there's lots of places in the Bible, God doesn't trust us. Sounds bad, doesn't it? But it's true. And why should he? He says in place after place after place in the Bible, I will give you this, I will do this for you. But first you've got to do that. There's heaps of places in Scripture where that wording's there. We've got to do it first. He won't do it first, because if he does it first and we get the goodies, we'll say, ah, that's all right, I've got the goodies, I don't need to do that other bit. So he doesn't trust us. So we've got to do the things first. So what happened in this course that we took part in many decades ago now was that we'd learnt that we had to do the things of writing relationships and forgiving and all that sort of thing. And once we'd done that, God gave us the feelings. Not the other way around. You got the feelings last. God gave them to you when you'd done your bit. So, love is a decision, not an emotion. You get the emotions later. First, you've got to make the decision to love somebody. You've got to decide to love them and then start showing it. The next thing is, I love opera. I'm peculiar, I know, but I love opera. And there's an opera where the soprano sings that she's in love for the first time. And in the aria, she sings, "Love is the heartbeat of the universe." And I agree with her, it is. No question about it. But I took it a step further, not from the way it was in the opera. I thought, yeah, love is the heartbeat of the universe. If God took his love from the universe, the whole thing would just collapse. All the suns would go out. It would be freezing cold. There'd be no gravity. The oceans on Earth would float off up into space and they'd be frozen solid blocks of water. The whole universe would just collapse into a heap of sand. In complete darkness, you wouldn't be able to see your hand in front of your eyes because there'd be no light. So God's love does keep the universe going, and we are part of the universe, and so is the earth. So love is the heartbeat of the universe. That touched me. I thought that was pretty good. Something came up during this week. I think that it was very important. I was talking to a friend of mine, a retired pastor, and we were just talking about it. And there was something I couldn't remember, and he couldn't remember either, so yeah, that's age. He turned around and said, "You know," he said, that's love, that's an interesting subject in the church. He said, "You know, we all talk about going out and evangelizing. You know, it doesn't work unless you first love. Unless you have love in your heart for the people out there and you genuinely want them to come to God, you've got to have that love, then all the evangelism in the world won't do any good. Won't do any good at all. So if we want to evangelize this town, we've got to start loving it. We've got to start loving it." Now comes the hard bit. Going through all of this, something happened to me. I came to a great realization, but mostly of it is feeling. But I'll try to explain it to you the best I can. I think, and I'm saying I think because I don't know, but I think, that when we're conceived, God sends down a chunk of his spirit into us so that we have spirit. And he gives us love. That's where it comes from. We don't generate it ourselves. Now, when we die, this is just an earth suit, by the way. It's just an earth suit that God gives us so that we don't walk around the place bumping into trees. The moment the earth suit wears out, like that, my spirit's going to go straight off up into higher heaven to be with Jesus. It is, just instantly gone. So if all of that came from God, and God is love, then I ought to be too. I ought to be love as well. If he's my father and I'm his son and he's love and he's given me love, then that's what I ought to be. I ought to do what it keeps telling me time and time again in Scripture. I ought to surrender myself. Totally surrender myself and start loving everybody. Now that's pretty dramatic. And it's something I think that you've got to work at. I don't think it just happens overnight. If you come across a situation, you say, "I'm going to love that person," the first thing you've got to do is put yourself aside and your own thoughts and your own feelings and start concentrating on that person and doing what you can for that person and showing them love. So it's a pretty big thing. And it's a pretty big realization that I've come to. with all of this. But it's important to me because I really know for sure and for certain that it's the truth. It's the truth of God. Well, I even went further and thought, there are scriptures, lots of scriptures, that if you don't love, you're not a child of God. Jesus says so over and over again. If you don't love, you're not a child of God. And Paul uses it frequently. So it's important. It's not something that we can just talk about and forget and then carry on concentrating on ourselves. We've seriously got to surrender ourselves. If we're children of God, we've got to do what He does. And He totally surrendered Himself and sent His Son to die on a cross to take our punishment. We've got to do the same thing. We've got to surrender ourselves to others. It's important. It is what the Bible keeps telling us and telling us and telling us. And what I've been doing for decades is ignoring it. I have. I read it and say, well, that's great. Yeah, lovely. I agree with that. But I don't do anything about it. Well, now, God has convicted me. And now I'm going to be doing something about it. I really feel it in my heart that I have to surrender myself and I have to start loving as He does. The Lord bless each and every one of you.
Thank you, Richard. This is really funny because the last song that we picked was about love. And we didn't even speak in the week. Oh, did he?
Is there a song that you want at the end? And I said, no, I'll leave it up to the Holy Spirit.
Well, there you go. And this came to mind. If you'd like to stand and join us and sing our last hymn for the day, please.